We are joined by Jeff O'Brien. He is an attorney. He's our attorney, lawyer, barrister extraordinaire from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, there's a lot to talk about related to politics and the president wannabe. The president wannabe, of course, being Kamala Harris and her running mate, Joe Biden. The ticket has really flopped in the minds of a lot of people, because do you know anyone who really thinks he's going, and I'm not saying he's going to pass away, but that he's going to make it the full 4 years before he either steps aside or his party convinces him to step aside, or they invoke the 25th Amendment and make him step aside?
Yeah, I think that if he was elected, yeah, I don't think he's going to serve a full 4 year term. And who knows? You know, if he was elected, if they can get by on this basement strategy and get him elected, maybe they run a cognitive test on him on November 4th and find out that he's got something, and then Harris just takes the oath in January of 2021. I don't know.
Well, they got something going on. The thing they have to take a look at, though, is she really was not that popular when she ran. You know, when she was in the in the bunch of presidential candidates for Democrats. And I don't understand why she suddenly became so appealing, probably appealing to the farther left, because she's been named, the most liberal Democrat in, or the most far left or the most progressive in the Senate. And that includes Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. That's a pretty good title to hold with those two in there.
Yeah, and I mean, she sort of got the selection by default, Bob. Is, you know, Joe Biden boxed himself in by saying he was going to name a woman of color, and Kamala Harris simply was the least objectionable of the candidates available for that position. I had heard that who he really wanted to pick was Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, but she didn't fit that box. And it's interesting. It's key that he said the words woman of color. Kamala Harris, her parents are of Jamaican and Indian background. And I've heard a lot of, I've talked to some of my friends who are, you know, black, they're planning to vote, and they're not really thrilled with this. I think there was a lot of black voters that thought that when he said woman of color, that he was going to pick a black woman. And so there's a little bit of chatter about that, that some are not happy with the sleight of hand on the wordplay there.
Well, they're going to be, I think other people are going to be concerned, because there's no question they're going to try to get him, his people, out of a debate, and maybe even say, well, he's not up to it today, he had a fever, but we'll send Kamala against Trump.
Yeah, I've noticed even CNN has, you know, three times now they've appeared together and given a press conference, and they are whisked away by the Biden staff, and press aren't given a chance to ask questions. CNN has now noted it, and Chris Wallace this morning on Fox News, who's not a right winger by any stretch of the imagination, he's liberal, but he's kind of one of those old school liberals, you know, in the Walter Cronkite mode that he's going to call balls and strikes. Chris Wallace said he can't do this the rest of the campaign. So there are some journalists there that are getting a little bit irritated with this routine of not making Joe Biden available for questioning. And on the other hand, the president's having a press conference every day and taking questions that oftentimes are hostile.
But you know what? Even if he had the news conference and he talked, the softballs would be lobbed, and he's not going to get tough questions.
That's the thing. When he does have press conferences, you're right, Bob, he calls on reporters like he knows what the question is coming, and he sounds very coherent, and it's scripted. And this is why, you hear the clamor for him not to debate Trump and all the excuses why not, because I think everybody knows or has a good feeling, or maybe a fear, of what's going to happen when he's not on a teleprompter or on a script or has someone in his ear, and it's Donald Trump going after him and trying to provoke him into saying something that he shouldn't. I think that's really going to be presidential debates, I don't think, are very meaningful. But I think given the situation this year, I think it's extremely important. It's going to be interesting to see that those debates could define what happens in the race. If voters, if swing voters decide Joe Biden lacks the capacity to do this, and they're being, and the Democrats trying to pull a fast one, they may either stay home or put their vote someplace else.
Well, the problem is that he will go back to what he default to what he usually does. He'll threaten to fight Trump. He'll take him out back and beat him up. He'll do that. But I don't know that I'm starting to think more and more. At first, I thought it wasn't possible that they will not let him debate. And if that were the case, if I'm Trump and they refuse to debate, I would not let Pence debate Kamala Harris, because they are champing at the bit to get her debating Pence. And I don't think Pence would embarrass himself. But I mean,
no, and I don't think that, in an environment where if their message is they want to end the divisiveness in this country, if that's the reason you pick Joe Biden, sending Kamala Harris out there as an attack dog against Mike Pence, who's a pretty, pretty calm demeanor, could backfire on them.
There's a lot that could backfire because the mask mandate. He wants masks worn indoors and out, right? Is that what he said the other day?
And outdoors. And you know what? When I saw that, the part that upset me the most about that comment, it wasn't just that the mask mandate. And of course, 3 months right to the election, curiously enough. But his comment, it's not about your rights, it's about your responsibility. You think about the history of this country and how it was founded, and to have a candidate for president saying it's not about your rights, it's about your responsibilities. Dude, it's all when it comes to the federal government, it's all about our rights and nothing else.
But of course, the exemption would be the rioters. They don't have to wear
masks. Yeah.
It's always an exception. And
right.
There's a few things that are bothering me too about you mentioned CNN, MSNBC, the mainstream media by the Washington Post, New York Times, very little, if any, talk of this peace accord between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. And the New York Times actually an opinion piece saying this is like earthquake movement to have something like this. And other people are poo-pooing it and saying, oh, we've had this. This has been going on all along anyway. It hasn't.
No, this is huge. I was reading something this weekend about Camp David Accords back in the 70s, starting then, and the way the U.S. has been kind of the arbitrator on all these Israel Middle East peace deals. This one's huge, and someone's predicting that Israel and Saudi Arabia will be next. And you're right. He's not getting any credit for it. If this had been Barack Obama, you know, the media would be fawning over him and suggesting he should get another Nobel Peace Prize. It didn't involve the U.S. shipping anybody, you know, a pallet full of cash. So that's nice. He's just, you know, he gets blamed for bad things, and he gets no credit for good things.
No. And his brother died. And as you mentioned off the air, there's people saying it's the wrong Trump, which is disgusting.
Yep. And there's a trending hashtag today on Twitter.
Yeah. And but also they're saying he did go see his brother Friday night. Then he's being criticized for not being with him the moment he passed. Nobody knows because it hasn't gotten out. His brother could have been in a coma on Friday night. And I don't mm-hmm. I mean, having been through it, I did fly when my dad was when he was having his last few days. I was there and I was at his side. But quite honestly, when my mother did, because she wasn't coherent at all. And I decided after having been with my dad that I wasn't going to be there at her bedside because it wouldn't have done her any good. And it just, people deal with grief and they deal with relatives and people dying in the way that they feel it's the best decision.
Right.
And I've felt,
for some to be, you know, taking, you know, that are seem to be, you know, joyous over the president's brother dying is really sick and classless. We should give credit where credit's due. Both Joe Biden and our governor, Tim Walz, tweeted out their condolences.
What I'm thinking of doing is I would send a card to all the people who were ripping him and sending a condolence to Trump, but it wouldn't get there till after Christmas with the, you know, this postal service. The way that works.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that's another story.
Yeah. The latest conspiracy. Now, if Trump wins, it's going to be blame mail fraud or something like that. But, you know,
of course it is. And if he doesn't, you know what? He'll be complaining. Somebody's going to complain. That's something we can be sure of. Jeff, as always, greatly appreciate it. Jeff O'Brien, Chestnut Cambrone, you are the man to talk to and many for many reasons. But also, if you happen to have a craft brewery you want to get started, or if you already have one and you need some help, Jeff is the guy to talk to. Also, well, you deal with wineries and also distilleries.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yep. Got all that covered. All right, Jeff, thanks so much. The BS Show, take a quick break. We will be right back.